and sat wooden, contemplating. The attacks stopped, he said, and within months the money stopped. The settlers' coal fund began to dry up. People even stopped buying so many weapons here, she added. Orin couldn't make Java's payments. There was nothing left to borrow against. His strategy relied on fear of the Tuscans. So when that fear vanished, he had to create some. Annalene's eyebrows shot up.
I can't believe this.
It's true, Ben said, clasping his hands together. Orin and his kids, and probably some hands, staged their own attacks. And your arms business came back, and the fund came back. He looked out the window. And they didn't choose random targets. They struck those who wouldn't contribute. Her mouth dropped open.
How do you know this? Did Jabe tell you?
Ben shook his head. The boy seems only to have been brought in now at the end. Annalene was glad to hear that. No, the first clue I got was from a Yark tonight. She said her Tuscans of the Roya Rift, what they call the Pillars, have been struck by settlers 9 times this season. He counted on his fingers. That matches the fund's recorded attacks. But a Yark said the area Tuscans have only raided 4 homes in that time. Annalene sat fully upright.
You believe her?
Ben looked directly at her. Why exactly would a Tuscan lie?
It could have been another band. There are so many.
Looking back at the closed door, she lowered her voice.
A Tuscan can't know everything that happens.
I think this Tuscan knows. More than most, anyway, he said. Ben knelt before her. Orin targeted the holdouts. His strikes never killed. But they frightened and injured and drove people to buy in. And to complete the illusion, he sent his vigilantes to wage punitive strikes against the Tuscans, and those did kill. Orin needed a cycle of violence to profit. So he created one.
Ben looked away.
I've seen it before, he said darkly. She looked at him in anguish.
But there are Tuscan attacks. We lived through one.
Yes. But how often do you think real Tuscans strike isolated farmers and leave them alive? Ben stroked his beard. Do you know Lotho Pelhain?
Of course she did.
Tyler Bizzard's father. He worked for Orin's ranch years ago. The Tuscans killed him the day you and I met.
Lotho was a holdout. Weeks earlier, he was beaten by night raiders. He moved to his kid's place, where they finally subscribed to the fund.
Ben looked at her. That's in Orin's records, along with a notation of problem solved from the night Lotho was originally attacked, allegedly by Tuscans.
He sighed. There were others. Orin wasn't just skimming from the fund. He made it into something Jabba would understand. A protection racket.
Annalene looked into the blackness.
Then he's betrayed every single person on the Oasis.
On the Wastes, Ben said. Don't forget that. Sand people have been dying because killing sand people was the service he sold.
You're not going to get me to feel sorry for the Tuscans,
Annalene said indignantly.
All life is sacred,
Ben said. Even life that comes in forms that we don't understand.
He looked up at her.
You know that, don't you?
She closed her eyes tightly, caught her breath, and nodded.
But everything changed today.
Mosep wants his money. That's what the Mos Eisley trip was about, he said.
So you did overhear something?
Yes. Eyes on her, Ben spoke tactfully. I fear the marriage proposal is more about money than love. I'm sorry to have to tell you this.
I found out a couple of hours ago,
Annalene said.
I don't care. I just wish you'd told me on the way home today.
Ben took a deep breath.
I don't like to interfere.
But Mosip said something else about Orin's other resources that put me to thinking about the settlers' call and about Ulbrich, his biggest holdout.
On a hunch, I rode there and saw Orin in his disguise. And he saw me. That changes everything. He spoke gravely. Right now, if I know his mind, Orin is planning to have me killed.
Killed? She laughed. Orin might play dress-up, but he's no killer.
Ben disagreed. He won't come for me alone. His kind never does. But I can handle it. I have a plan.
Annalene sat forward on the bed and appealed to him.
Ben, no. Seriously.
You said yourself he hadn't killed any settlers. He's not some galactic menace.
There are monsters in all walks of life, Ben said.
One doesn't need unlimited power to create victims. One just needs to be desperate.
There's still good in him, Annalene said, thinking of the smiling man she'd known for years.
I admit he's a lying, cheating, out-of-control scoundrel, and that it's hard to see the good.
Maybe there is good, Ben said, rising from the floor. There's good in most. But look at what he's done, what he's willing to do.
Where do you draw the line?
The question made Annalene dizzy.
I thought you two were friends.
Ben fixed his gaze on a darkened corner.
I don't know that we were, he said softly. But even if we'd been friends for years, things would be no different. When friends go wrong, you don't get a choice about what to do.
It sounds like you know something about that.
More than I ever wanted to,
he murmured. He looked away. Annalene stood.
Ben had to be reasoned with. Yes, Orin's crimes would hurt the Caldwells if exposed, even if Jabe's role in the Ulbrich attack never became known. The families were linked in the eyes of the whole Oasis, and she had been profiting from the fund's weapons purchases. All might well be lost for her as well as Orin, but she couldn't risk another life being destroyed.
She reached for him. You don't have to face him, Ben. This isn't your responsibility.
No, Ben said, turning his back to her. It's in motion. He'll call out his allies to silence me, and I'll call on my own.
He didn't explain who or what they were.
But no matter what the end, your path is clear.
My path? She asked. Ben turned and placed his hands gently on her shoulders.
Annalene, do you trust me?
What?
Do you trust me? To know what to do now?
Yes, she whispered without pause.